Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoeie met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk.
Paakstel is die minister van Handel, Nywerheid en Mededinging en hy het in November verlede jaar genoem dat daar 'n nuwe transformasiefonds in werking gestel gaan word om swart ondernemings in Suid-Afrika te finansier. Die mikpunt is dat hierdie fonds 'n stewige 100 miljard rand sterk moet wees. Paakstel het toe vroeg vanjaar in reaksie op 'n parlementêre vraag van Toby Chance van die DA planne vir die fonds bevestig. En hy het egter nie baie inligting bekend gemaak nie. Die kernpunte wat hy wel bekend gemaak het is dat die fonds deur die Nasionale Bemagtigingsfonds bestuur sal word. Daar sal verwag word dat groot ondernemings 3% van hulle nabelaste wins tot die fonds moet bydra. Groot internasionale maatskappye sal 25% van die waarde van hulle plaaslike bedrywighede moet bydra en as die maatskappye dit nie doen nie, sal hulle nie met die staat kan sake doen nie. Op die lyn is Chris Patterson, hy is 'n navorser by die Instituut van Rasseverhoudings. Chris, thank you so much for your time today. I've just given a short description of the info Paakstel included in his official answer to the question from the DA. But can you give us just a bit more perspective of what you know about this proposed fund?
So the transformation fund, it appears, is an attempt by the government to improving its attempts to achieve the National Development Plan, as the minister mentioned in his parliamentary reply. But as we see, BE and employment equity more broadly hasn't necessarily worked over the past 20 years in terms of black unemployment, for example, which is actually higher than the national average, according to the latest data from StatsSA. So it appears that the government just wants to take more money from the private sector without it having a measurable outcome for black people in South Africa.
How will this fund tie into existing empowerment legislation and regulations? Would it form part of it, or is it in addition to what is expected of business currently?
So the minister in his reply said to Toby Chance from the DA that the National Empowerment Fund will manage this 100 billion rand fund, and it will be done in terms of the BEE codes of good practice and the public interest provisions in the Competition Act.
So what does that mean? You know, many companies now spend a lot of money on supplier development. So there's a lot of business being done with black business and there's assistance to develop those suppliers. Would the contributions for those projects now become a contribution to this new transformation fund?
It appears that the transformation fund essentially wants to sort of bolster the companies that aren't contributing to enterprise and supply development. And the way the government wants to do it is now to put it all into one fund managed by the National Empowerment Fund as a sort of public-private partnership, according to the parliamentary reply.
My immediate reaction was, what about the IDC? Isn't this exactly what the IDC does? Provide finance to prospective or black business and businesses who need finance and who can create jobs.
The IDC and the National Empowerment Fund are the main ways for black businesses to apply for funding when government requires businesses to take a BE partner. So this appears on the surface, at least, to be just another attempt by the minister to bolster that goal of reaching the NDP's vision 2030, which I don't think will have its intended effect, for example, because we've seen over the years that black unemployment and economic empowerment for black people hasn't had the intended consequences.
Would money solve the unemployment problem?
Money wouldn't necessarily solve the problem. The problem can be solved by job creation, and the Institute's proposed policy is economic empowerment for the disadvantaged, which entails that tax-funded vouchers be given to means-tested South Africans who qualify, and they would get tax-funded vouchers for schooling, healthcare, and housing. So it would redirect the money that is currently spent by the government and put it directly into the pockets of the most disadvantaged. So the money wouldn't go to the government, it would go to the people directly.
Now, this would be applicable to bigger businesses, businesses employing more than 50 people. It wouldn't be expected from businesses with fewer than 50 people to contribute. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. Those employers who employ more than 50 people and who earn above a certain amount according to the Employment Equity Act are designated as designated employers who need to comply with BEE and employment equity targets. And the businesses who employ less than 50 people, according to the Department of Employment and Labor, are exempt from the regulatory burden that the department says that BEE would be on these smaller businesses.
I think an interesting element is also that big international companies doing business here would have to contribute 25% of the value of their local operations to this fund. Now, if you look at the big multinationals doing business here, Microsoft, Google, etc., many of the big pharmaceutical companies, that could become a big disincentive for those businesses to do business here.
Yes. BEE and employment equity are probably one of the largest barriers to investment in South Africa, and it robs the South African economy of the revenue that foreign companies could bring into South Africa, not only through their investment in the people, but their investment in infrastructure, for example.
So we've ventilated the facts about what this fund is all about, but there has been a lot of criticism from the private sector and representative bodies of businesses. What are the main points of criticism against this fund?
So the Institute says the Transformation Fund is unconstitutional on four bases. So we start with Section 1 of the Constitution, which identifies non-racialism as a founding provision. Section 9 is the next one, which is the Equality Clause of the Constitution, which prevents the state and the private sector from unfairly discriminating on racial grounds. Then we move on to Section 213 of the Constitution, which says that all the revenue produced by the government must be paid into the National Revenue Fund or accept money reasonably excluded by an Act of Parliament. So the minister hasn't given details on how this money will be collected or how the money would be spent. So there's effectively no control over how the money would be spent. Then after that, there's Section 217 of the Constitution, which says that public procurement must be competitive and cost-effective. The minister wants to exclude businesses that don't provide 3% of their net profit after tax. So automatically, those businesses are excluded from tendering for government contracts, which is unfair, as Judge Raymond Zonda has said in his state capture report.
It seems as if it's another plan to try and supplement failed policies and the lack of success of previous empowerment initiatives. And we've seen new legislation and regulations in other segments of empowerment regulations as well, and they are being taken to court, and aggressively so. Most notably, the recent sectoral BEE requirements for the legal sector. It sounds to me that this would also head to court if the push comes to shove and it's officially proposed.
Well, we can see the business chambers are upset at the government that proposed this policy. Interesting to note also that on News24's questions to the minister, they say that the department is still working out the modalities. What I personally don't understand is how the minister can announce a policy without having a plan. So I would assume that naturally these proposed policies would be open to law challenges going forward.
And it also doesn't help if there's so much distrust between the private sector and government. Despite the optimism from podiums, do you regard that as a structural problem, distrust between the government and the private sector, or probably the private sector and government?
Well, we've seen recently that the government-business partnership is trying to get the economy back on track. But if the Department of Trade and Industry is proposing policies that want to tax businesses more, then these policies and these issues become quite an obstacle to working towards the goal of economic growth, which is what South Africa really needs today and into the future.
Chris, thank you so much for your time. Dit was Chris Patterson. Hy is 'n navorser by die Instituut van Rasseverhoudings.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoe elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Money Web Potgoe, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Money Web News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.